Welcome to Bulls Gold. This is episode 77. I am Salim Sederwala, and as always, I'm joined by Edward Trullo Jr. Hey, Edward, how are you doing? How's quarantine going for you?
I'm doing well. Quarantine is kind of the same old thing. I think I'm about 3 weeks into it, but there's nothing really new going on with it. Just trying to hold up as well as I can. How about you?
Yeah, pretty much about the same. You know, like before we started recording, we were talking about it, and the days are kind of getting blending in. Not a lot. It feels like I said, I feel like I forget what day it is sometimes. You wake up and you're like, oh, crap, it's Wednesday. And then, like, one day I woke up on Saturday. I'm like, wait, do I have to work today? I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, it's only Saturday. Saturday, so I don't know, I got to work today. It's wild. Some other wild stuff, getting right into it. The Bulls finally announced that they are going to start expanding and interviewing candidates for the new GM and who's going to have full capacity to make changes as far as whatever needs to be done with their GM, with the scouting department, with coaching, with analytics department and whatever. And that was broken the other day by Woj. And, you know, it's been something we've kind of talked about all season that, you know, it could potentially be happening because someone like a David Kaplan in Chicago had said that there was going to be high-level change and there's definitely going to be a lot of different things going on. One thing that still seems to be constant is the John Paxson seems to be still involved at some level. Gar has definitely been kind of pushed to the side. So what are your thoughts? Like, what when you saw finally the news broke and the names being involved, not only with Pax, but the people that they're interviewing, what were your thoughts right off the bat?
I think I'm still, I mean, even given the times that we're in right now with a lot of people getting like laid off and a lot of people losing their jobs and whatnot, I think I'm still sort of alarmed at how much effort the Bulls ownership is going through to actually keep Gar Foreman and John Paxson in the fold with all this. It's also still surprising to me that John Paxson is involved in this search to some degree, as Adrian Wojnarowski has reported. I think one of the beat writers have reported it a few times as well. But yeah, it's very surprising to me that John Paxson is actually involved in this. I'm not sure if he's going to be involved in the actual decision making of who comes on board. But that's always been a surprising element to me of this. But it's absolutely welcoming news for the most part. I think we all would want just a clean sweep of everything. And that seems to be, I think we're getting as close to that as we possibly can. And that's fine. And I think it's actually absolutely clear that we all would want Paxson and Foreman out. But I mean, this is probably the best we're going to get given that. But when you look at the options that we're going to get in terms of Arturis Karnisovas, Adam Simon from Miami, Chad Buchanan was one of the candidates, but today Shams Charania reported that he's not going to be interviewing for the position. And then we have Bobby Webster from Toronto. So there seems to be three pretty solid candidates, I think, for the position. And the more research that I've done on it so far, I mean, they all seem to be like pretty solid guys. They all have their different backgrounds and whatnot. So it really just depends on what the Reinsdorfs value the most in terms of how they're going to spearhead this new regime.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Like I said, like you hit, you know, a couple of points that I completely agree with, where it's weird that Pax is somehow still involved. We don't know if he's going to be on the interviews when they like meet with these candidates that they've named. That would be really bizarre if he was, again, at some level, being, you know, interviewing his replacement. What I've that's the thing I really don't like about it. But we're unsure what exactly capacity he's going to have as far as hiring the new person. It seems that Michael Reinsdorf is kind of spearheading this overall himself, but we're still not certain, you know, because that advisory, him being an advisor. So is he going to be advising Michael Reinsdorf on who, which candidate? Should be the final decision, or what exactly his advisory capacity there to for? And again, I always also think like is the so called John Paxton will be as an advisor just to save face to say okay, well you're technically fired, but we're not gonna make it look like you got fired because we don't want to embarrass you, you know, type of thing. So I don't know. One thing, like, so what I do like, and the names that we've talked about, are the Bulls are, you know, doing something much different than they normally do. They're not staying status quo and you know, going out and getting a GM that Reinsdorf have been friends with or have a previous relationship with at some level. They've gone out of the organization and they're talking to teams that have built continued success, that have known to have great scouting, great analytics department, great structure from top to bottom as far as when you consider front office duties and all that. So that's very encouraging to me right there. The one discouraging thing that you brought up with Chad Buchanan that said, you know, I'm thanks, but no thanks. Now, that could definitely be genuine where he's very happy with Indiana. But at the same time, that's kind of embarrassing saying, you're like, nah, you know, I don't want to come join the Bulls and become I don't even want to interview for the job. Like, he didn't even interview for the job. He just said, no, I'm good. So to me, that feels like, is there something that broke that saying that Paxton's still going to be very heavily involved? Or is that just, like I said, is that Buchanan saying, you know what, I'm just genuinely really happy in Indiana and the way they've treated me, and I see a long-term career here where I will eventually take over as the GM. Yeah. So, yeah, that... all that, when I put into play, to me, those are my overall thoughts on that situation.
Yeah. I could see both sides of it, because if you're someone like Chad Buchanan and you have a history of working with Kevin Pritchard, who's running pretty much basketball operations for the Indiana Pacers, and you know that's been a strong ally of yours throughout your time in the NBA, and your family is comfortable in Indianapolis, I wouldn't want to leave either, especially if you're going to a team where it's pretty much going to be for all intents and purposes, this could still be another rebuild phase, if we're being honest. Like, there's no certainty that this current group is going to be the group that has sustained excellence for the Chicago Bulls over the next 5, 6, or 7 years. We would like to think that. We would like to hope that that's the case, but there's no promises. So you're talking about a complete potential rebuild again of the initial rebuild. So it's going to be a lot of work. And at least for me, just again, I'm not going to claim that I'm an expert on any of these guys, but at least for me, Buchanan was kind of far down on my list of the names that were out there. And so this news to me, while I guess it can be a little bit embarrassing that someone is just putting it out there saying, yeah, thanks, but no thanks, I'm fine with that for the most part. But in terms of what you mentioned, this whole advisory, I'm going to start calling it an advisory board, because that's what it seems like has kind of formed behind the scenes here with the Reinsdorfs. When you consider Doug Collins and now potentially John Paxson, when we talked about this maybe a few episodes ago, and Doug Collins was the one that I specifically was asking about, we don't know what exactly Doug Collins does in the Bulls organization. We know he's very close with the Reinsdorfs. And we know he has, like, I guess he's cordial with John Paxson as well. but we don't really know what he specifically does in a day-to-day thing. He can just come and go as he pleases. But we do know one thing, that Jerry Reinsdorf values his opinion heavily. And that can be a blessing, and that could also kind of be a curse in some ways. We can say that it's a blessing because when we think back to the Chicago Sun-Times article that Joe Cowley wrote about how Gar Forman was kind of falling down the pecking order of the Bulls organization, we saw in that article that Doug Collins was one of the reasons why, because he was talking to Jerry Reinsdorf about, you know, basically all of Gar Forman's shortcomings. And he wasn't a fan of some of the things that Gar Forman was doing in terms of processes and whatnot. So in that case, yeah, that could be excellent. But if you bring a new person in here and they're coming into this and they're staring up at this fraternity that's still active with Collins and Paxson and the Reinsdorfs, and if Gar Forman somehow sticks by in the organization, I could see why that would be a little bit intimidating and why you wouldn't want to just tell your family, all right, let's move to Chicago and let's go do this, you know, because I wouldn't want to be involved in that either. So I think the encouraging thing here is that even though that possibility is still exists, because again, we don't know what Doug Collins does aside from he obviously has influence, I think it's encouraging that Sharanya and Woj are all saying that this person is going to have full autonomy of the Bulls or Bulls basketball operations. So they're going to have final say, and they cannot, to me, they can absolutely cannot sell this role, whatever it is, if it's GM, president of basketball operations, I don't know the title, but they absolutely cannot sell this role to somebody without that key, you know, factor being involved.
Yeah, exactly. And when you consider some of these, like the people that going at, they're going after, they are coveted talents, if you will. So it's not like if the Bulls opportunity doesn't present itself that this is like their last chance of becoming a GM and moving up in the executive world of the NBA. So you're right. The Bulls better come right. You know, they better not mess this up and really have us in a situation where they're not giving full autonomy to this person that's coming in. And the whole, so me personally, I guess I'm not too worried about the Gar Forman factor. I don't know. We've seen the recent articles from guys like Joe Cowley that have said like Gar Forman is essentially, you know, banished to Siberia. You know, he doesn't have any role. They're just kind of finding a place for him.
Yeah.
In the organization, but he doesn't have any voice as far as decision making of anything of any at any capacity is concerned. So I'm just not that worried about Gar Forman. I'm like I said, the whole John Paxson situation is what worrisome to me. And it always comes back to that. And again, it all comes back to what exactly his actual role will be when it's said and done. I know, like, obviously we know the advisor, tag has been labeled on him, but again, that could just be formalities as far as just, you know, whatever, we gotta give you some kind of title because we just don't want to make it look like we fired you. So we'll see what has that. As far as getting more into the actual candidates, I don't know what who your favorite candidates are, but for me, the front runners are definitely Adam Simon of Miami and then Bobby Webster. Like those two, if they can get one of those guys, I think that would be, you know, an A+. And then obviously you're giving them full control about, you know, just remaking every aspect of this team as they see fit.
Yeah. It's tough for me to, like, I guess boil down a specific value and what the Bulls need from this person, because there's so many different factors that come into play if you are the primary figure in running, you know, day-to-day basketball operations for a team. You know, some people have a scouting background, some people are more salary cap oriented. Some people have more relationship backgrounds. When you talk about this current trend in the NBA with hiring agents and whatnot, I think that's what comes from the whole relationship background. So there's so many different factors, but I do think that the three names that, you know, with Buchanan out, I think the three names was Simon, Webster, and Karnisovas. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but I think those three are pretty good. And the more I think about it, the more I become very fascinated with the idea of Adam Simon of the Miami Heat. And I'll tell you why. And when I look at Adam Simon's resume, he's been with the Miami Heat for 25 years now. Came in 95. I think he may have came around the same time as Eric Spoelstra. I can't remember. But he's worked his way up from so many different positions in that organization. And we know that the Miami Heat have been a very successful organization for a while now. So when you consider the ladder that he's climbed, and when you look at the fact that Pat Riley has promoted him each time another team has been sniffing around him, they've always viewed him as a very valuable asset to the team. So right now, I think Adam Simon's role, I think he is the, I can't even remember his role right now. But what sticks out to me about Adam Simon when you look at his resume is that he's been a very key figure in the Miami Heat's, the Miami Heat being able to find a lot of these gems that have been undrafted. When you look at their G League affiliate, there are two teams to me that stick out in terms of like developing talent in that G League affiliate, and it's Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat. And when you look at the names that the Miami Heat have had in that G League affiliate, when you talk about Duncan Robinson, Tyler Johnson, Hassan Whiteside, Kendrick Nunn, Adam Simon has been credited for a lot of these, you know, discoveries with these players. He pursued Kendrick Nunn very hard, and he kind of like, he went to Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg, and he like pushed that idea on them, and they made room and they went to go sign Kendrick Nunn. So to me, his ability to find and discover talent, not only at the G League level, but also at the collegiate level as well, to me, that's insanely valuable, because he's pretty much been in charge of having the final say on the draft board in Miami before they present it to Pat Riley. So he's been a big part of that process in different roles for the last however many years. So he's been a very key part of that organization. So, again, I'm forgetting his title right now. I'm sure it's I can find it a little bit later. But he's been such a big part of their draft process. And the way the Miami Heat have developed talent over the years, Simon seems like a very fascinating name. And like, to me, it's interesting that he is not like actually landed a GM job yet, because when you look at the resume, it seems like he's one of the more qualified like names out there to me.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and that's why I like, so to me personally, obviously we don't know the in-depth details of what each obviously player person has done. And the reason I have guys like a guy like Webster and Simon in the lead is because I've really valued and liked what Toronto and Miami have done as an organization. And that's what I would love to bring in Chicago. I'd love to see this team built like that and have a long-term success where they're consistently finding, when they're bringing a guy like a Fred VanVleet into the organization that, you know, is struggling to make it into the NBA, and all of a sudden becomes a valuable starting caliber player, that shows to me that, yeah, man, if the Bulls can be a smooth engine like that, where they're, you know, from top to bottom, everything that they're doing is turning out aces. Like, you know, you lose a guy like Kawhi Leonard after you traded for him. Obviously, it was a beneficial trade because it ended up winning them a championship. But you lose Kawhi Leonard in offseason, and then you were still on pace before the season hiatus, on pace to win 60 games this year after he left. And to me, when you lose a player at the caliber of Kawhi Leonard and then still, after the fact, are looking like, you know, probably the second best team in the East behind a team like Milwaukee, to me, that shows a lot of value in what you're doing as an organization. And granted, Masai Ujiri has been in charge of that, but when a guy like Bobby Webster, I'm sure, has been involved at a pretty high level, he's not the assistant GM, you know, for nothing. So to me, that's one of the reasons, like, you know, I would love to have an opportunity for landing a guy like Bobby Webster. And then Miami speaks for itself. The culture that they've built, you know, they're not... they're very strict on how they operate down there. They don't mess around. They're very good at building relationship with players, you know, building long-term relationships with players, and the way they do things from scouting, like you brought up with the players that they found, like Kendrick Nunn, and whatnot, as far as, you know, even Tyler Hero, they coveted, and he's turned out to be a pretty solid draft pick for them in this year, along with Kendrick Nunn. So, yeah, those are the things that I'm literally looking at, and that's why I feel like those are guys that, to me, should be front runners, and hopefully they don't mess around and you know, jump around too much and try to land one of these guys, whoever they feel like of those two guys are their best fit for the Bulls, but... hopefully they would act quickly to get them in.
Yeah, absolutely. And to go back to Simon real quick, I just wanted to read you a list of the titles that he's had since 95. So he entered the Miami Heat as a video coordinator intern. Then he became a basketball operations intern, basketball operations assistant, then went to a scouting coordinator, then he became a scout, then he became the director of scouting for the Heat, then he became the director of player personnel. Then he became the assistant general manager. He's been the general manager of basketball operations for their G League affiliate, the Skyforce, since 2013. Then he became the vice president of player personnel of the Miami Heat while simultaneously having that role as general manager for the G League affiliate. And now he's currently the vice president of basketball operations for the Miami Heat. So, I mean, just a loaded resume. And again, just going up the ladder each, like, seemingly, like, regularly for him under Pat Riley, which, I mean, you can't think of a, I mean, just one of the best all-time executives in the NBA. So, I mean, that's no easy feat. And then this quote stuck out to me as well. So, this is a quote from an agent who was telling the Miami Herald why his player chose the Miami Heat to sign a two-way contract with. So he said this, he said, "We pick Miami because they are the best at it." And when he said the best at it, he means player development. "They're the gold standard. I don't see how you can turn down Miami considering the pipeline, the amount of attention, starting at the top with Pat Riley, Andy Ellisberg, and most of all, Adam Simon. They have shown with this kind of player. All things being equal, I pick Miami because they will be the best at it. Them and Toronto. When Miami shows interest, you listen, and they were one of the first to show interest. It gets you attention. They have a great system. They train their coaches." So, like, just like reading stuff like that from an agent is like extremely meaningful because it just shows you the relationship they have and just the standard that they set across the league in terms of getting all of these young players these opportunities and being able to be responsible with how they develop it. So, like, just having that ability to know that you can find these gems and create new waves of young talent to ascend throughout your organization is just crazy valuable. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, Simon, his resume right now looks very good. But to go back to Webster, like, one of the key things is that, and I think you read this a lot, is that he played point on the Kawhi Leonard deal. So, like, his relationship with somebody from San Antonio really helped set that deal off. And a lot of Raptors fans, when you read around, they give him a lot of praise and credit for that. So, he's been such an instrumental part of their process as well. So, yeah, I like Webster a lot, too. And it's really interesting that I think he's the youngest general manager in the NBA right now. And he has a lot of salary cap background because he used to work for the NBA and he used to advise people on the collective bargaining agreement and like some salary cap management as well. So, I mean, he seems like he has a bright future. And I know there's been those rumors out there where Masai Ujiri has been like going, like, I think at one point the Knicks were attached to him as well. I'm sure some other teams would love to have him. And a lot of Raptors fans kind of looked at Webster as being able to trust him, you know, being in Masai's role. So, I mean, it seems like he has a promising future one way or another.
Yeah, that's the key factor there. It's what these other organizations will do if it comes down to it. Will they offer, let's say if the Bulls offer them a position and a guy like, let's say Bobby Webster is their choice. Is Masai really, if Masai is leaving, maybe Bobby's like, you know, there's already a foundation here. Why would I leave Toronto when I can be the GM here as opposed to going to the Bulls where I have to kind of rebuild from, you know, scratch? Granted, the Bulls rebuilding situation isn't as bad when you consider sometimes when you're looking over because the Bulls, they do have, as bad as this season has been, they do have some nice young talent. You know, as Markkanen had a disappointing season, but there's still some value there. You got a guy like Zach LaVine that has shown that he can be, you know, a really good player in this league. You have a young players like Wendell Carter Jr., Kobe White, you know, those kind of players that that are nice, you know, assets or players to have when you're starting a rebuild and going forward. And then the other thing, the Bulls, one big positive in the John Paxson era is he hasn't just given away draft picks, like first rounders, that is. Obviously, the second round, we joke about the cash consideration stuff, but the Bulls do have, even in that regards, they have a few second rounders too that they have traded for from other teams. And again, like I said, you know, they have all their first round picks. They don't have any situations like, you know, with Sean Marks when he took over for Brooklyn. You know, he had to work. He had a lot of work ahead of him because they didn't have any draft picks. He had to get a little really creative in finding ways to add, you know, first round talent. With guys like Caris LeVert and, you know, getting other players like Jared Allen and stuff like that in the draft. So it wouldn't be as uphill of a battle if a GM came here. And the other benefit is as well, say what you want about the Reinsdorf. As fans, we get annoyed about their loyalty, but they are very loyal to their front office. So odds are this new person coming on would have a pretty long leash as far as what they do, as far as, let's say, even if there's no like quick, okay, you have to have a winning team by this year or otherwise you're fired type of situation. You know, they probably will have some time on their hand to really get in and build the right way. So it doesn't feel like, you know, their job is on the line every waking moment. So those are some benefits and positive factors that when you consider the Bulls situation. So I guess we'll see what happens, you know, come down to it. And you know, as we wrap up this episode, any final thoughts that you have that you think that are vital to the current situation where the Bulls are going through?
I think that right now, I agree with you that the Bulls situation in terms of, like, at least in terms of how the team is set up right now, it could be worse, right? So, yeah, like, as you mentioned, they own all their draft picks. They don't really have any, like, awful contracts. I mean, sure, Felicio, but, I mean, like, he expires next year. So, I mean, that's not really the worst. But they don't really have, like, any awful, like, long-term deals or anything like that where, like, you really need to get this guy because he's preventing you from building a decent team or anything like that. And even with, like, Felicio, like, sure, he's made $8 million and been worthless, but $8 million is probably, if that's the worst contract that you have, like, that's really nothing when you look at the big picture across the league. So, yeah, I agree with you. Like, things could be worse in terms of someone taking over this job. And, yeah, that's a good point with the Reinsdorfs. They're going to give this new person a while. They're probably going to give him a 5 or 6 year contract to come over here. And, you know, they're going to let you do your thing. And hopefully there's no interference from anyone else. So, I mean, yeah, it's I think the toughest part about this is that you will have to rebuild the rebuild. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know. That could go either way, really. But, it'll be interesting to see how all these interviews go and who they start to lean to at some point. I do think that Arturis Karnasovas, I think Adrian Wojnarowski and Bobby Marks said that he was someone to watch very closely with. And he's been in Houston under Daryl Morey and obviously now with Denver. And he's got a heavy international scouting background and was promoted to general manager in Denver a few years ago. And he's someone that is given a significant amount of credit to for Nikola Jokic. So, I mean, he's a very interesting name as well. But, yeah, as far as the names that we know right now, I really don't think you can – or at least on paper, they seem to be very qualified and they all seem to be, like, coveted front office guys right now. So it seems like they're looking at the right type of people, even though – and I'll say this again, even though I really do wish that the Bulls would actually go after Sam Presti, because from what Woj said, or not Woj, but I think it was KC that said it, but he never said that Sam Presti wasn't interested in coming to Chicago. He said that the Bulls were not going to go after Sam Presti. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if he, like, Presti was telling people through back channels that he, like, maybe he wanted too much, but, man, I really do wish the Bulls would go after Sam Presti, at least to try, just to say, like, hey, if this is what you want, like, okay, like, let's do it. But, yeah.
Sam Presti and the Masai Ujiri situations, because those guys are still under contract, so yeah. I'm imagining the Bulls would have to give up an asset to get them out of those contracts, like maybe like a first round pick, like a late first or something like that, or a couple of seconds. So maybe that's what's kind of pushing the organization to say, you know, it'll be kind of difficult to get around that. And then on top of that, then we have to go and extend them large amount of money, which the money shouldn't be a factor at all, but I don't know. It's probably the whole going around hassle of trying to, give up an asset to get Sam Presti might be the reason that they're holding off or not wanting to go that route. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that's a good reason, but I mean, I'm just speculating. Maybe that's the reason why. But like I say, you know, as we wrap up this episode, I think we've got our thoughts in as far as where the current situation is. It's just a wait and see situation to see what happens. Hopefully this Chad Buchanan thing that happened with him turning the Bulls down was just a one off and the other candidates don't do the same thing, because then it could be a scary trend that maybe the Bulls aren't as serious about giving these guys full autonomy to take control. So we'll see what happens as more news breaks as the season goes on. So, or not the season, but the off season hiatus goes on and they start interviewing some of these candidates that they have. But yeah, so that's a wrap for episode 77. Again, please give us a follow on Twitter at Bulls Gold. You can again find us on all podcast platforms. And if you can, if you're a person that uses Apple Podcasts, please rate us a 5 on there. Subscribe and rate us a 5 on there. And in general, if you enjoy, like I said, listening to our podcast, you know, just like I said, give us a rate us a 5 on podcasts, Apple Podcasts. And as always, for Edward Schuler and myself, thank you to all the listeners. Till next time, Bulls fans.